Welcome, 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 and it's a great day. Team USA is moving on. They beat Iran 1-0 today, so the World Cup continues. They'll play Netherlands on Saturday. Of course, the Rams have a game this weekend, but what we want to talk to you about right now, especially if you're a Rams season ticket holder, but anybody who has tickets for the Rams game on Christmas Day, the Rams are doing a really cool thing, and to help us explain it is the COO of the Rams, Kevin Demoff. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you doing?
Oh, doing excellent, and I really love this thing that you're doing. I'm going to have you explain it so I don't screw it up, but it's called Rams House for the Holidays, and in essence, what it is, and I think this is really forward-thinking of you guys, you looked at the schedule, you saw that you had a game on Christmas Day, and I applaud your realism here. You said there's going to be people that are either traveling or want to be with their families and are not going to go to the game. If they're not going to go to the game, explain what you would like them to do.
Well, I think it's exactly right, John. When we got the schedule in May, we were excited to have a Christmas Day game, but we have no real idea of what Christmas Day games for the NFL would look like under the best of circumstances. And unfortunately, right now, this matchup would might have seemed great in May, may not be under the best of circumstances. So we worked with the idea for our season ticket holders and all fans who had tickets, because the game is essentially sold out, that for those who may not be able to make it on Christmas because they're traveling or they have other plans with their family, to be able... Sorry about that.
No, no worries. We still got you. Kevin, you there?
I'm right here. Sorry about that.
No problem. We got you now.
For season ticket holders, for fans to be able to donate their tickets to those who might not be able to go to a Rams game otherwise. And we work with so many charities throughout the year, and we were fortunate to choose 25 of them to partner with, so that if you're a season ticket holder or you bought tickets for the game and for some reason you can't go, you can now donate those tickets to families in need, someone who might not be able to come to the game, and win prizes. You get a credit to Princess Cruises for the amount that you donate of your tickets. So hopefully a really great program that will get people who would never be able to go to a game at SoFi otherwise into the stadium and have a different Christmas and hopefully a wonderful Christmas and see what we hope will be a Rams win.
How does this reflect, Kevin, just the Rams' overall desire to ingratiate themselves with the Los Angeles community, especially after the time you guys spent away from it?
Well, look, I think the question, ultimately we built an amazing stadium. We've had, the last 6 years, a terrific ability to connect with the community. But the best way to connect with the community is through our games. It's the best display of what we do. It's the best display of our brand and what brings people together in the city, and to give people a sense of joy. And not everybody can get into SoFi Stadium. It only holds 70,000 people. Whether there are cost barriers, geographical barriers, people who work maybe on Sundays, that's a different element too of Christmas for those people who might work on weekends. Maybe they have Christmas Day off. This is our chance to open the doors to SoFi, to the community who might not be able to get there elsewhere. And, there are opportunities like training camp at UC Irvine, which are free, which we do that as well. Some scrimmages at SoFi Stadium, which we do. But this is a great chance to really connect with some of those communities and continue to build fandom. This has never been about 1 year, 2 years, 5 years. This is about building lifelong fandom. And what better way than maybe on Christmas Day to be able to give tickets to a family, to kids who have never gotten to go to a game, who are Rams fans, and build that fandom long term.
I love that you're doing this, and we're talking to Kevin Demoff, the COO of the Rams, and what we're talking about is Rams House for the Holidays. It's the ability, if you have tickets to the Christmas Day game, to donate them, and you'll receive, as Kevin mentioned, credits to do some really cool stuff. And Kevin, one element I really liked about this was that ticket holders will be able to select specific nonprofits to where they want to donate your tickets. So you mentioned there are 25 of them, and some of these are pretty, big-time charities that people are familiar with. Boys and Girls Clubs of Metro L.A., Brotherhood Crusade, A Place Called Home, Heart of Los Angeles, Operation Progress, and that's just a few of them. There's an element here where the ticket holder can decide, well, that's a charity that's close to my heart. I would like to help them. And then in return, once you donate your tickets, you get a dollar-for-dollar match for the value of your tickets donated in credits to book a trip with Princess Cruises if you want, which I think is really cool. And additionally, members receive one entry per ticket donated for a chance to win prizes. So among the prizes are a hotel night at a Hilton, a meal cooked by a chef, Aaron May, a ski pass, La Brea Bakery, Rams New Era hat. So it's you can be rewarded for doing a good thing here. I mean, I just love the way you structured this, because not only if I'm a season ticket holder, do I, and correct me if I'm wrong, I get to pick my charity, one of the 25, and then if I get lucky, I can win something and I get credits to go on a cruise. I got all that right, didn't I?
You got that correct. And, you know, I think the great part is when we went to the, these are all charitable partners we work with year round for many years. And they were excited by the opportunity to participate. So I think going back to Andy's questions about connection in the community, having those authentic relationships, you know, and being able to call up and say, would this help? Would this be a benefit? Was great. And the fact is, so many of our fans are giving. This is Giving Tuesday. It's why we announced this initiative today. You know, they want to do it, but they do wind up. If you have seats that are $100 seats for that game, four seats, you get $400 towards a cruise. You also get to give tickets to a charity. And not only that, that donation is being matched by Matthew Stafford, Aaron Donald, Coach McVay, Les Snead, myself, many others in the organization. So not only are you donating those tickets, everything that gets donated will get matched by the organization. So really a great opportunity, you know, for more people to come and experience the Rams firsthand and, you know, make it really a blue and yellow Christmas.
Yeah,
or the seventh night of Hanukkah.
Yes.
Or both. I mean, yeah. My family, it's both.
Yeah, there you go.
You mentioned before that when the schedule came out and you saw you were on Christmas, that you were excited about this but didn't quite know what it was going to be like because you'd never had that before. What, if any, expectations do you have for this day? Or are there things that you can talk about that you've planned for the game, specifically that holiday atmosphere?
Well, look, you always activate around the holidays. There's so many ways you can do it with the in-game. The other great part about this game is because it is a CBS Nickelodeon game, we're doing a ton of activation with Nickelodeon for kids, for families around the game. There will be slime involved. I know for everybody, you know, that's the one thing. The NFL and Nickelodeon, you know, mean slime. And, you know, everything you can do to get people on and get to enjoy. And it's one of those things, yes, the NBA plays games and the Lakers, you know, and I believe the Clippers have also hosted games, but those tend to be maybe 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night on Christmas. You know, holding a 1:25, 1:30 game on Christmas, the timing works well. You can get up, open presents, celebrate, come to the game, you know, and, you know, go to your family or in-laws like the rest of us for dinner. So the timing works well, but there's just no expectation. There's no history. There's no precedent in Los Angeles for what that would look like or how schools are. I know for my kids, because Christmas falls on a Sunday, they have the week before off from school, so it really falls in the middle of that winter break, which gave us pause around just what redemption would look like. Again, it's not tickets sold. The game is essentially sold out. We have a couple hundred tickets left to sell, but this is really about giving those who may not be able to use their tickets otherwise a chance to put them to good use.
We're talking to Kevin Demoff, the COO of the Rams. Now, Kevin, if people want to do this, is the easiest way to go to therams.com/tickets, and there's information on the website? Is that where you want people to go if they're interested in participating?
I believe that is exactly where to go, but certainly go to therams.com. Or if you're a season ticket holder, you can feel free to reach out to your account rep, and they can help coordinate the process and the donation. Either way will work.
Okay. While I got you here, let me ask you about something we were talking about the other day, because you've been around football your whole life. For people who don't know, Kevin's father, Marvin, was one of the original great sports agents and represented great quarterbacks, from John Elway to Dan Marino and that whole gang. But Kevin, you guys have some interesting decisions to make. The season's not going the way you thought it would. I made the argument the other day, look, we're the defending Super Bowl champions here. I don't want to risk Aaron Donald or Matthew Stafford or certainly Cooper Kupp if they're playing injured. And I actually liked Bryce Perkins getting an opportunity or, Jefferson getting back out there after he started the season slow. I like seeing some of the other guys in a situation where we might not make the playoffs. But I know fans love Aaron Donald and love Matthew Stafford. When people ask you about it, like, where do you come down on that? Are you more with me that you want to see some of the other guys, or would you like to see the regulars in there, or what's your thought on that decision-making process?
Well, I wish it was that black and white, right? I mean, unfortunately, you have an injury to Cooper Kupp where he might be able to come back later in the season. You have, you know, an injury to Matthew Stafford that has a timetable that's a little bit unknown. A player like Aaron who might be a couple of weeks, we'll see. You know, Aaron's never missed a game, and, you know, I'm sure if we're up to Aaron, he'll play this weekend. We'll have to see how that injury goes. First and foremost, you want these guys to to be healthy and never put them in jeopardy until they feel 100% ready to return, especially if you're not making a push for the playoffs. But I think it really comes down to two different issues. There's the organizational issue of this is a great opportunity to see some young guys play while they're certainly out, and how they develop. And I think you've seen, you know, some of those guys come alive. You got to see Lance McCutcheon play a little bit last week.
Yeah.
Tutu Atwell, you know, Bryson Hopkins, Bryce Perkins. Like, this is a great opportunity to go evaluate that. But at the same time, one of the things that makes those players so special is they're elite competitors. And, you know, Matthew Stafford being told that, hey, you might be healthy, you know, and cleared in a couple of weeks and we don't want to play. Like, that's not how he's wired. That's certainly not how Aaron Donald's wired. That's not how Cooper Kupp's wired. That's not what makes them champions and the best at what they do. And so it is a balance of making sure you're doing what's best for the team, most importantly, what's best for the player, but then truly evaluating at the point, you know, when they're healthy to play, if there's a week left, 2 weeks left, what is best universally for all. And I think that's a decision that you sit down with them, but really their bodies are going to dictate that more than anything, their health, their confidence in how they can play, and ultimately where we're sitting in the season. You know, maybe, you know, if you start playing well, you start to get some momentum. That's great. You know, at the same time, these guys are all proud and want to be out there with their teammates and want to finish strong and have some momentum headed in the offseason as well. So, you know, I don't think it's as easy of an answer as, hey, shut it down.
Right.
You know, plan for next year. And I don't think it's as easy as let them play, you know, no matter what, even if they're banged up. I think the answer usually falls somewhere in between. And that's a conversation that Sean and his coaches and, you know, the players and really Reggie Scott and our training staff is going to have. But I also think it's one of those until they're, you know, really 100% healthy.
Kevin Demoff, the COO of the Rams, nice enough to join us. And let me we lost you there for a second, Kevin. Go ahead.
Oh, where did I lose you?
Oh, it's all right. I think you got most of your point across. But I wanted to say this before we let you go. I said earlier today in the show that there are some things that if you live in Los Angeles are bucket list kind of things. Things that you like. I think everybody who lives in Los Angeles should at some point go to the Hollywood Bowl. It's kind of the quintessential LA experience. I think that they should go to a Laker game. I think going to SoFi Stadium is on that list. For people who don't know, SoFi Stadium is the most expansive and frankly expensive stadium ever built in NFL history. You guys built a spectacular facility, Kevin, and if you donate your tickets on Christmas Day, you're giving somebody an opportunity to see it who would never have an opportunity to see it otherwise. And I think that's the heart of this program, Kevin, is that you're getting people in the building and you're going to get a lot of wide-eyed, very excited, you know, hopefully underprivileged kids and even some adults that never would get to go to SoFi. So I hope this thing catches fire. And we'll help you get there. If you know, come on anytime, or if you need us to kind of push the envelope for you on this, I hope this is a huge success because I think it's a really nice thing that you're doing.
Well, I appreciate it. It should be a great program, a great way for people to see SoFi. And, you know, it's not just about seeing a game. It's hopefully building lifelong fandom, which is going to be the most important thing we can ever do. Helping those in need and creating more Rams fans is about as good as a Giving Tuesday gets.
All right. Well, hey, thank you for coming on. Happy holidays if we don't get a chance to talk to you. And good luck with this thing. It's a nice thing that you're doing.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Kevin. Have a great day. There's Kevin Demoff, the COO of the Rams. Coming up next, if you weren't with us earlier, USA is moving on. The World Cup is still alive in America. And you'd be surprised who's benefiting from that. It's not just the U.S. players or even the U.S. fans. There's another group of people that were very excited when the USA won today. We'll tell you who that is coming up next. Andy Kamenetsky in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, ESPN LA.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mason in Ireland on Jorge Briones' birthday. Hey. Happy birthday, Jorge.
Gracias.
And earlier today, Team USA got it done. They beat Iran 1-0. And in so doing, they advance past the group stage of the World Cup, and they'll play Saturday against the Netherlands. And these games now are single elimination. If you win, you move on. If you lose, you're out. And Jorge found this, Andy, and I thought it was really interesting. You remember there was this battle by the U.S. women's national team to get equal pay. And for years, the dynamic in this country with soccer has been that the women are really good and win the World Cup a lot. And if they don't win it, they make it to the final and lose. But they're in it. I mean, they're a world power, the best team in the world. And the men stink.
Yeah.
The men didn't even make the World Cup the last 4 years ago. And then today, had they lost, they would have been out. So the women have been battling for equal pay. And here's something that I don't think everybody completely understood. And maybe this will make you get it. Because they instituted equal pay earlier this year, they finally said, all right, we're going to take all the money that the men make and all the money that the women make, we're going to put it all in a pool and they're all going to split it equally. And the reason that was so significant is because the men's World Cup generates so much more money than the women's World Cup does. And what was key to getting it done was that the men got on board and supported the women and said, you know what? Girls soccer in this sport is just as important as boys soccer in this country. Let's come together and, you know, there's plenty of money to go around and let's split it, which I thought was smart for both sides. Because of the new equal pay agreement, the U.S. advanced today, each of the two teams, each, the men's team and the women's team, gets $6.5 million each. That's more than the women's national team got for winning both the 2015 Women's World Cup and the 2019 World Cup combined. If you combine how much they got, it was $6 million. Today, with the men winning, they get $6.5 million. So this has the ability to change soccer moving forward, not only for the men, but for the women. And the issue of equal pay is something I've never really understood why it's even a thing. Like, if I'm doing the same job as Amanda, exact same job, and they pay me more just because I'm a man, it makes no sense to me. I've never been able to figure that out. And people will say, well, Amanda might go have kids, or she might leave. Yeah, women have kids, all right? It's the way the world works, all right? They don't deserve to be paid less because they're childbearing, all right? And in the case of soccer, the reason that it was so polarizing was because the women were really good and the men were really bad. And so today was a victory not just for the men, but for the women.
Yeah, I mean, to your example with you and Amanda and, you know, any pay discrepancy that could be here, nobody at this station is more likely to miss work than Steve Mason.
Yes.
And he's a man.
Yeah.
And he's decidedly not going to have any children around him for both Mace's sake and any of those children.
But just the idea of equal pay the fact that it's a thing has never made sense to me.
First of all, this is great because over the course of this setup, it's a better bet that the women will hold up their end of the bargain in terms of success than the men. So they earn their way into this. But also, it's just a reflection of how the World Cup, as a world stage, there are a lot of, broadly speaking, political issues that become attached to this, like human rights issues, socioeconomic, gender issues.
Well, the argument against equal pay is, okay, the men are generating more income and they should be able to keep the revenue that they generate. But here's the problem with that if you keep them segregated, you know, the women are the one driving soccer interest in this country.
Right.
The women are way better than the men, comparatively. So if the women are doing more to advance the sport and driving soccer and making it more popular and in thereby generating revenue overall, and the men are getting a disproportionate amount of that revenue, even when they suck, I think it's great that they've now decided, okay, we're in it together. No matter how far we go, all the money that we make, throw it in a pool, and we'll all split it up. I thought that was really smart.
It's similar to a lot of the battles that have gone on with tennis, with women's players as well.
And, yeah, and they're home on tennis,
right,
too,
and
now.
And during a period for a while where...
The majors all have equal pay now.
Well, and for a while, the women were clearly generating the interest in tennis. There was a period not that long ago where women's tennis was far more engrossing than men's was.
Yeah. If you missed the game... It was exciting, and a weird thing happened, and it happened near the end of the first half. Here's what it sounded like.
Austin McKay, Des making a big run. It's been for him. Des is snuck in behind. Des in the middle. Pulisic scores! Might have paid the price, but the U.S. takes the lead.
Christian Pulisic, who's the best player on the men's U.S. team, scored the only goal of the game. The Americans would 1-0. Now, he said, you heard the announcer say, and that's courtesy of Fox TV, you heard the announcer say he might have paid the price. Pulisic suffered an abdominal injury. We don't know what it is. We don't know if he's got a pulled abdomen, if he's got broken ribs. He just tweeted a picture from his hospital bed. He couldn't continue in the game. They sent him to the hospital. He has this graphic. There's a shot of him in bed, wired up to a lot of different IVs, with a fist in the air and a big smile on his face, and he says, "So effing proud of my guys. I'll be ready Saturday. Don't worry." So he's, you know, of course he's going to say that he's planning on playing, but now he's got 3 full days to get better, and then the game on Saturday morning early our time. 6 a.m. our time is when coverage starts on Saturday. U.S. against the Netherlands. And every win now, I mean, now that they've gotten out of the group stage, every win now is just a huge boon to U.S. soccer. Like I mentioned earlier, I was at a restaurant, and there were 100 people in the restaurant around TVs, and I could just tell. If I walked up to all of them, they couldn't name 2 people on Team USA, but they were super into it. And I think that's what happens. It kind of builds like a wildfire.
I didn't know who Christian Pulisic was until today.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of him.
Yeah, he's the best player we've ever produced. He may go to Manchester United, and then if he does that, that's like they're the Dallas Cowboys of the English Premier League, literally in every way. They make the most money. They used to be really good, and now they've fallen on hard times. But if Pulisic goes to Man U, that would be really fun. And they just had a huge breakup with Cristiano Ronaldo, and they've Marcus Rashford, who plays for Man U, had a goal today for England. But it's if you are a soccer fan, it's a great time to be rooting for the World Cup, and the fact that they made it out of the group stage is great. All right. By the way, coming up, Greg, we only have 2 more days of Game of Games, right?
Today and tomorrow.
All right. It's worth 2. You have the lead. I can still catch you, but I got to win both days, right?
Yes, you will actually win if you win both days.
Okay. So we got that coming. It's Andy's game, and that's coming up for you right around the corner. All right. Mason and Ireland, Amy Kanamanitsky in for Mace. I wanted to get a couple of things in here before we get to Game of Games. All right. So earlier we were talking about the Korean spa, and how the Korean spa is, you know, kind of kicks your ass. I mean, I got a tweet from somebody named Joe, and it says, "We Koreans exfoliate our skin with these specific washcloths, which take off all the dead skin on your body. Keeps your skin very smooth and soft for sure." But he spells Koreans with a C. Do you think he's really Korean if he spells it with a C? Isn't Korean K?
Well, in Spanish, we spell it with a C.
Oh, do you? Maybe that's why. Okay. All right. So thanks, Joe. I'll see if I can stumble into one of those washcloths.
Glad we solved that.
And somebody said, well, Brian Robinson's hat, his big hat, as Richard Torres points out, for Ireland, it's a regular size hat.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
If anything, it might not be big enough.
Yeah. You know, it's definitely possible. All right. So, as you guys all know, I'm a Raider fan. That can be very painful. Bergman's a Raider fan. Ramona's a Raider fan.
It hurts.
Bergman, did you see what happened in the Seahawks game in the first quarter?
Yeah.
So Derek Carr throws an interception. Not uncommon, unfortunately.
He only has 7 on the season.
Only.
But this was weird. I've never seen this before, and I'm curious if any of you have. So the Seahawks intercept the pass, and they're running it back. And now think about this for a second. A guy on the bench, on the sidelines, sees that all the officials are running with the play. So he waits for the officials to run past him and runs on the field to block, in essence, giving them a 12th man. And correctly thinking there's no way anyone would ever notice because they've all gone past the play. Is this cheating, unfair, or smart?
Can it be a little bit of both?
It could. And if I'm on another team and I see that he got away with it, would it be smart or stupid for me to try it this week?
Stupid.
Why?
Because the odds of getting away with something like that, that blatant, are incredibly small.
But he did it.
He did it, but the odds of not getting caught are pretty small.
Bergman, smart or stupid, if I'm on the sidelines, my team intercepts a pass, the officials have all run past the play, I go out and start blocking.
That's idiotic. It's not. You should absolutely not do it. What if it's like a game-winning touchdown and on an interception?
It was in the first quarter.
Sure, but if whenever it was, let's say
pick
it's
your
a
spot.
Let's say they get a touchdown out of it. Somehow they go back and see it, and then you lose the touchdown for it. It's a massive mistake. No way. You would do it, wouldn't you? You would be the guy running.
For $100. Well, I'm trying to figure out if it would be smart or stupid.
That was smart. First quarter, you didn't get caught. Me.
All right.
Smart. Would you do it again?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's his birthday. Nobody's gonna throw a fly.
They'd be like,
"Oh,
you know
what?
It's his birthday. Just go ahead and let him go."
All right.
He might not even play.
Deion Sanders confirmed yesterday that he's been offered the head coaching job at the University of Colorado. Andy, is that smart for Colorado, and should Deion take it? Is it smart for Deion?
It's definitely, I think, smart for Colorado because Deion Sanders is going to be able to recruit. And I think he has a recruiting capability, a visibility that probably expands beyond what Colorado can particularly or normally do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think from Colorado's perspective, it's really smart, especially at a time that's kind of uncertain for the Pac-12.
Right. They by far are the worst team in the conference.
Yeah.
Couldn't Deion do better if he waited?
Well, that's what I was going to say, is whether or not this is actually smart for Deion Sanders is different because he right now, I think, is riding a high. And everything in his coaching career has gone not just really well, but anybody who was skeptical about him for whatever reason so far has been proven wrong. But it's a little bit of a big fish in a small pond type
right.
thing. And, you know, once you move into, say, you know, the Pac-12 or a bigger conference, it could start becoming more difficult. Again, that being said, though, I think he will have as good of a recruiting edge as just about any coach across college football.
Greg, if you were Deion, would you take the Colorado job?
No, I would not take the Colorado job. He's been somebody that has talked so heavily about the HBCUs and how important it is and how he doesn't want to leave it. It's not about the coaching. It's not about the money. It's about just helping HBCUs and the kids over there. So, I mean, he's talked about it a lot. I think that he should stay. I think he'd be successful wherever he goes, but he doesn't need it.
Well, but wait a minute. What if they pay him $3 million to be the coach at Colorado and they pay him $100,000 to be a coach at an HBCU, what
I mean, he's talked about that specifically, about how he doesn't need the money, and he does it for the love and for the HBCUs.
Well, so. Craig's raising a really interesting point. Like, the idea of why Deion Sanders is coaching in the first place. Like, if he's doing this because he really wants to develop the HBCUs into more of, like, a football destination, then that might give him pause about actually leaving at all, or just, like, looking to climb the ladder, so to speak, in the way most coaches would look to do it. He may be coming from this from a totally different perspective as like 99 out of 100 other guys.
Well, his son is potentially an NFL quarterback. And so if you get Deion, you probably get his son. And so you have an NFL quarterback in
right,
your program. That would help too.
Right, but that's an issue for the school. That's not necessarily an issue for Deion. Deion might be fine with his son going wherever he goes, especially if he knows my kid's going to the NFL no matter what. That doesn't really affect Deion Sanders at all. Maybe not even his kid. That's really more for the school.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I have a weird feeling he's not going to take it. I don't know, but I got a weird feeling he's... I mean...
What would you take? Would you take that job, or would you want to wait for another one to
I think
open
I
up?
Might wait. I don't know if you could win at Colorado. I just don't think they're committed to football. They were years and years ago when Bill McCartney was there, and then he got him into some trouble, and they got put on probation, and they had a bunch of guys with, you know, that got in trouble with the law, and then they kind of cleaned it up. But ever since then, it's kind of been a dog with fleas.
Yeah, I
could be wrong. I don't know Deion. I haven't talked to him about it, but my sense is that he could do better. We'll find out. All right, coming up next, a very important game of games. If Bergman wins it, it's over. Bergman is the Game of Games champion for the month of November. I need to win to stay alive. It's Jorge's birthday. He should probably win. Is anybody in the afternoon show playing?
No, Jacob and Ronnie's going to come play.
Excellent. It's Tuesday. I forgot.
And he can tie me.
Okay, so Jacob is very much in it. So it's Andy's game. Jacob will join us. And Game of Games is next. ESPN LA. All right, no Mason today. We got Andy Kamenetsky in for Mason. It's Andy's game, and Game of Games is tight. And on Tuesday, we always welcome our friend Jacob Imrani in here. Hi, Jacob.
How are you, John?
I'm excellent. Great to see you. You are with a win, Greg. Jacob is tied for the lead, correct?
Tied with me for the lead, yes.
Ooh. And then if I win, I'm only one back.
And if Jorge wins, he's only one back.
And if you win, it's over.
It's over.
Right? Okay. Andy, what's the game?
Well, yesterday, a character actor named Clarence Gilliard died at the age of 66. He's one of those classic that guy actors. He's in Top Gun. He was on the show Walker, Texas Ranger. And he played Theo, the computer hacker villain in the movie Die Hard.
Okay.
Black guy, wore glasses in the movie. And he has a great mini monologue involving the Showtime Lakers. And to pay a hail fellow well-met tribute, which I know you guys like to do...
Yep.
We are going to have some Die Hard trivia.
Okay.
In honor
I haven't
of
seen Die Hard in many, many years.
Great. Right. Great movie.
I don't remember the last night.
In honor of Clarence Gilliard. So
what a liar. Last night. Shut up.
To begin, his character Theo has a mini monologue when he enters Nakatomi Plaza, which mentions the big three from Showtime, Magic, Kareem, and Worthy, plus one role player. Which role player was it? Byron Scott, A.C. Green, Kurt Rambis or Michael Cooper? Byron Scott, A.C. Green, Kurt Rambis or Michael Cooper?
Jorge.
Michael Cooper.
Greg.
Yeah, I'm going to go Cooper also.
Jacob.
I will go with Byron Scott.
I will go with Kurt Rambis.
You are all incorrect. The answer is A.C. Green. The monologue is so Kareem rebounds, right? Feeds Worthy on the break, over to A.C., to Magic, then back to Worthy, right? Boom, shoots the desk guard. Boom, 2 points. So you're all off to zero.
Except for the desk guard. That's a bad deal for him.
Wow. Well, he knew the answer for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Which iconic movie star once owned the rights to the source material book, Nothing Lasts Forever, that Die Hard was adapted from and had planned to star in it during the early 80s? Paul Newman, Clint Eastwood, or Harrison Ford? Paul Newman, Clint Eastwood, or Harrison Ford?
Bergman.
Clint Eastwood.
Jacob.
I'm going to go with Harrison Ford.
I'm going to go with Clint Eastwood. Jorge.
Paul Newman.
Clint Eastwood is the answer. For years, he owned the rights to the book.
Yeah, he owned the rights to everything for a while.
Yes, he did.
Right. Okay. Wow.
Bruce Willis was paid what was considered an extraordinary salary at the time for Die Hard, particularly somebody then only known for Moonlighting TV.
Undersell Moonlighting.
Well, remember, back then, TV guys didn't do movies.
Right.
What was his salary? $3 million? $5 million? Or $7 million? $3 million, $5 million, or $7 million?
Jacob.
I will go with $3
million. Jorge. Or no, it's me. I agree with Jacob. I'll go with $3 million. Jorge.
What was it? Three, five, or what?
Seven. Three, five, or seven.
I'll go seven.
Greg.
$3 million.
Oh, you're all incorrect. $5 million.
Greg, it was right there.
I was going to go with 5-2.
It was right there. Okay, so far, it's Bergman 1, Ireland 1, everybody else, Bupkis.
True or false, Die Hard was the film debut of Alan Rickman, who played Hans Gruber, the head of the terrorist organization. True or false, debut.
This one's me. I'm going to go false. Jorge.
I'm going to go true.
Greg.
False.
Jacob.
I will go true as well.
Finally on the board, I believe. It is true.
Okay, yeah. And that means it's 1-1.
Yes, they saw him in a play of Dangerous Liaisons, and he almost turned the role down because he thought he'd be typecast immediately as a villain.
Let's go.
He no longer alive, Alan Rickman.
Great actor.
But tonight on ABC, the greatest Christmas movie of all time, Love Actually, 20-year look back. For anyone interested, go ahead.
Okay. Wow. The costume department for Die Hard created multiple tank tops for Bruce Willis's character in various stages of sweat, tearing, dirt, etc. It's more or less all he wears in this movie. How many tank tops in total did they design? Over under at 15. Over under at 15. How many tank tops did they design for Bruce Willis for Die Hard?
Jorge.
Over under
15.
Over 15.
Greg.
I'm going to say over also.
Jacob.
I will say under.
I'm going over.
The wisdom of crowds, Jacob. You should have gone over. 17.
I was getting ready for a second.
No. 17 total tank tops, one of which donated to the Smithsonian.
Okay. So everybody's got two except for Jacob. He's got one.
Okay. Robert De Niro turned down, among other people, Robert De Niro turned down the role of John McClane to do a different movie that ironically opened the same weekend as Die Hard. What movie was it? Goodfellas, The Untouchables, or Midnight Run? Goodfellas, The Untouchables, or Midnight Run opened the same weekend as Die Hard.
Are we allowed to ask what year Die Hard opened?
No. That's not against the rules.
Well, I'm not looking anything up. I'm just saying.
But you might know it. You might know years in your head. You know a lot of movies. I think we go by the question.
Okay. Greg, you're first.
I am going to go with... Wait, so give me the...
Goodfellas, The Untouchables, Midnight Run.
I'm going to say Midnight Run.
Jacob.
Goodfellas?
I'm going to go with Greg. I'm going to go Midnight Run. Jorge.
I'm going Goodfellas.
Midnight Run is the answer.
Yes. Come on, Bergman.
Phenomenal movie.
I think he followed me on that, but that's okay.
No, here was my thinking. I know The Untouchables, he gained like 30 pounds for that. He committed to that role.
Right.
And Goodfellas is such a big movie. I can't imagine him.
Same weekend?
Yeah. Same weekend? Yeah, so that's why I went by Midnight Run by default.
Yeah,
okay.
No, that was good.
Score, Greg 3.
Calculate.
John 3. Jorge 2. Jacob 1.
Okay.
All right, what's next, Dan?
How
many more you got?
How many
three
more?
In total.
Okay, three more.
What is the body count in Die Hard? Over under at 20.
Jeez.
Over under at 20. The body count deaths in Die Hard.
Okay.
Jacob first?
Yes. Jacob, you go first.
I'm going over.
It's me. I'm trying to think.
Are you counting how many people died?
Yeah.
It's going scene by scene by scene.
There weren't that many. I'm going under. Jorge.
Yeah, under.
Yeah, I was going to go under too.
The answer is actually under. 18 total deaths in Die Hard. They
gone.
Okay.
Not a good day for me, huh?
Jacob. I think you're out. There are only two left.
Only two.
Jacob, you're out.
Oh, sorry, Jacob.
Your winning streak. You had won two in a row. Okay, so it's a three-horse race. Oh, God, Bergman can't win.
By the way, they cranked it up just a touch, the body count in Die Hard 2, 164.
Just a touch. I looked at the body count once for one of the John Wick movies. Yeah. It was like over 300.
Yes.
It's like the movie Eraser.
Yeah.
Just get destroyed.
Okay, two more, Bergman. Here we go.
In a 2022 interview with Entertainment Tonight, Reginald Vell Johnson revealed that Sergeant Al Powell, the character he played, was originally going to be played by Gene Hackman, but it fell through for reasons he didn't know. And then the casting department decided to go for a then unknown actor, and it came down to Reginald Vell Johnson and this other actor.
Okay.
Who is it? Wesley Snipes, Don Cheadle, George Clooney, or Samuel L. Jackson? Snipes, Cheadle, Clooney, or Samuel L. Jackson?
Wow. It's me?
Yep.
I don't know the answer, but I'm going with my guy, Samuel L. Jackson, just to see if I get lucky.
Okay.
Jorge.
We share our birthday, Don Cheadle.
Greg.
So it's Snipes, Cheadle,
Clooney, or Jackson?
I was trying to think of that same kind of age. Let's go with Snipes.
Jacob's out.
I'm out.
Oh. Greg, it is Wesley Snipes. It came down to Snipes and Reginald Vell Johnson.
Okay, do you have a tiebreaker?
I have one final question.
Then I win!
I'm afraid. Wait a minute. Can you come up with a
tiebreaker? I have a final question.
Well, I know, but I already have one. I have 1 point lead.
Yeah, he has a 1 point lead. But normally we tell, how about this? Well, let's see how the final question goes. Do the final question.
Final question. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Yes or no? This is technically subjective based on my opinion, but my opinion is the correct answer, which makes it yes or no.
All right.
Is Die Hard a Christmas
movie?
Bergman,
you have to go first.
So it's a guess.
Come on.
It's not a guess. There's a correct answer.
Well, it's what you think. All
right. Right, the correct answer.
He's just going to go opposite of me, so it's really kind of, I'm screwed here. Yeah. I feel like we've had this conversation before, and you fall on the side of, God, I'm going to lose this, not a Christmas movie.
I also think that's what he thinks, but I only have one way to go. So do you, Jorge. So you and I are both going yes, right?
I'm going yes.
I think you're a no guy, but Jorge and I are both going yes. What is it?
What the hell's wrong with you people? Of course it's a Christmas movie.
I knew!
Oh my
John McClane wants to spend Christmas with his estranged wife, which puts everything in motion. You've got Hans Gruber's line, it's Christmas, Theo. It's the time of miracles. So be of good cheer and call me when you hit the last lock.
Bergman,
now I've got a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho. It's a Christmas movie.
Okay.
Period.
Bergman,
yep.
I think I have a way to break the tie.
Okay, not going to complain, by the
way. Okay, do you seriously not know the year Die Hard came out?
I have no idea.
I know the year.
Okay, so.
Do you know the year? Do you seriously not know?
I don't know. Matter of fact, I will go first, and it's a total shot in the dark, okay?
Jeez. Yeah.
It's going to be closest. Just closest, right? All three of us are still
It doesn't matter. I'm going to go one higher or one lower.
Okay, right. I'm going to go 1988.
Oh, geez, it's right there.
It's right,
right.
There.
Greg, what are you going to... We'll let Jorge go last because it's his birthday.
I'm going to say... God, it's right there. I'm going to go 89.
Okay.
I'm out. God, I'm going to lose.
Jorge?
87.
It's 1988. Boom!
Oh, my God!
Boom! Oh, I love that! I'm not dead yet, Bergman!
Wow.
And you know what the worst part about this is? It's a Michael Thompson game tomorrow, and he puts it right to you.
No, but you know, Pepe is the guy to beat in the Michael games now.
Michael, make it hard tomorrow.
Oh, that's coming out of nowhere!
Wow.
I can't believe that I lost because of a subjective question for Andy Kamenetz.
It's not subjective!
I was ahead!
The correct
answer. You put a random question in there that doesn't make it. I already lost today. I already lost today. No, you can't do that. That's out of line, sir. That's out of line.
Hit the super stage.
This was very interesting to watch.
Jacob, thank you.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
You too.
Boom!
La 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 la.
That is the voice of Scott Kaplan. George, Cappy's out of the studio today. Sonano's with us. Sonano, how are we doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Because I pulled a win out of my you-know-what.
I saw. Right there. I walked in as it happened.
I thought I was done. Now, honest answer, Cap.
Yeah, because I watched the whole thing go down on YouTube.
Okay, honest answer, Cappy.
John doesn't care that you were watching on YouTube. Yeah.
Well, you look great today, John.
Did you watch the U.S. men's soccer game at any point today, Cap?
Of course, watched the whole thing.
Sonano?
Yeah, I was watching the whole thing. Oh, I was listening to part of it because I had to pick up my daughter, but I watched the whole second half.
I found myself, and I couldn't tell you more than two guys on that team. I found myself riveted by it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Why is that? Why am
patriotism.
Is it that simple?
Yep.
Well, not only patriotism, but who the U.S. was playing against. If this was the U.S. against England, that was exciting on Saturday, but this had a different feel to it. Am I alone on that?
The finality of it was, you know, if we lose, those guys get on a plane and come home, and then we all complain about why the men never win and the women always do. And even if they lose on Saturday to the Netherlands, I think the World Cup's been a success. You agree, George?
Yeah, well, for sure, especially with Pulisic getting hurt. I think that they have a really good young team. I think that, you know, I talked to somebody who knows this stuff way more than I do, and he feels that they can be a... They're the youngest team in the World Cup, right? So clearly this will help catapult them, in theory, to greater heights moving forward.
By the way, Pulisic has been diagnosed with a pelvic contusion.
Yeah, he got kicked in the nuts, basically.
Yeah.
Well, kneed in the nuts, basically.
So you say in polite company.
Well said, George. Yeah. Very well said. That's usually the kind of thing I would say, and everybody would be like, oh, come on, we have to dump you for that. That was very, very spot on.
I mean, it's the truth.
By the way,
he also tweeted it out, or not tweeted out. Somebody posted a picture of him in the hospital, and he says he's going to try to play on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll see. Tweet, Greg, from the reluctant hero. Wow. Ireland just bamboozled Bergman from Game of Games. He created the question, hit the nail on the head, not to mention the subjective question. How can Ireland be proud? Reluctant hero, you don't know me very well.
So you feel good about it.
I am going to lord it over Bergman until I win or lose tomorrow.
And then the
loser will walk away in shame.
Did you hear Jorge say
you ran on the field in the first quarter? That's what you did.
Exactly.
Dude, you jumped out of your chair, man.
Yeah, I was the guy who was on the sidelines for the Seahawks that was the 12th man that ran on the field just for no reason.
So you're saying you cheated? Because the guy on the sideline cheated.
Well, he didn't get caught, did he?
Well, but you're getting caught.
Is it cheating if you don't get caught?
No.
You won.
There you go.
Well, no, that guy was not subjectively cheating. He was actually cheating.
How concerned should I be about the Lakers' El Foldo, the 17-point blowout in the fourth quarter yesterday? They were up 17 with about 9 minutes to go, and they allowed Indiana to score on 7 of their last 8 possessions. Big deal or little deal?
I don't think it's a big deal because I think this is who they are, right? Like, they're just not what I would call a
middle of the pack team right now.
Good team, yeah. Right? Yeah, they're average to below average, and we've seen that kind of play itself out now. You know, I joked with you yesterday. Yeah, if they play the Spurs, the next 5 to 10 games, they'll be in great shape. But when they play a team that's got a little juice to them, they seem to be in trouble.
Do you guys think? Anthony Davis took 2 shots in the fourth quarter. 2.
Mm-hmm.
Is that on him? Is that on LeBron? Is that on Darvin
Ham? It's everybody. All 3 of them.
It's if we were doing a blame pie.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Mm.
Blame pie.
I would say at least Andy's here for the blame pie today.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. You're stealing it in front of my face. Yeah. It's an upgrade.
I would say AD, biggest percentage, and then I would say LeBron and Ham, because at the end of the day, Ham can say what he wants, but they have to execute it.
Cap, what do you think? Whose fault?
I'd rather say that last night LeBron should have stopped shooting and should have just fed the ball to AD. So in last night's instance, I'll have to go LeBron, but not by much, right over AD and then Darvin Ham. Because Darvin Ham, forget about him. It's between these two guys. They're on the floor together. Yo, I'm playing out of my mind. Give me the freaking ball. You're missing every shot. Stop shooting.
Andy, can I go off the board and say... It's none of the above. It's the defense that they gave up 7 of 8 possessions down the stretch. Indiana scored.
They did, but they stopped
multiple layups.
That's a problem, but they also stopped scoring. They scored 22 points in the fourth quarter.
Right.
You can't have that.
And what they gave up, 32.
32.
Right? I hope they win tomorrow. I think this road trip coming up, by the way, guys, It's six games, and it's against all good teams.
Yeah.
And even the bad teams aren't that bad. Like, Washington's on this trip.
Yeah, they're
you see
at 500.
Porzingis score 41 yesterday.
Yeah, 29 at the half. Yeah.
Yeah.
So but I they should beat Detroit.
Right.
Well, at the end of the trip.
Well, yeah, Detroit and maybe Washington, but the other games.
Are tough.
Like, you're going to beat the Milwaukee game, yeah. George, with me.
Yeah.
That would be their biggest win of the year if they could pull that off.
Yeah.
Then they go to D.C., which now all of a sudden doesn't look that easy. Cleveland looks hard.
Yeah.
Toronto on the second night of a back-to-back is hard.
Brutal. Yeah.
And then they finish up going to Philadelphia hard.
Yeah.
And then Detroit.
Yeah.
What's a for lack of a better term, acceptable record on this road trip?
2-4 is acceptable. Because you're anything above that is a surprise, to be honest
right.
with you. Right.
But isn't 1-5 or 0-6 like completely disastrous?
I would say 0-6 is definitely disastrous. 1-5, because to your point, like, Washington's might be better than them right now.
Right.
So I think that Detroit is not. And that's why we were talking about, like, even though Indiana has a good record, they're not necessarily a great team. They're just a young team that's going to play hard. And you should still be able to beat those young teams that want to play hard, like Portland, for example.
I mean, by definition, you should be able to beat a team that you had down by 17 in the fourth quarter.
Well, that too. But I said before the game.
I have a question. But I have a question for you guys.
What's your question, Cap?
My question is this. So, for the winning that they just did, where people were starting to climb out from underneath this, they're dead and done, maybe there's something actually here, did last night's game change everybody's mind, or did it get you back to, they still stink, can't beat a quality opponent?
Okay, sit down and tell me what you think of this theory.
Yeah.
All right, they had a game earlier this year against New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for New Orleans to lose this game, everything had to go right for the Lakers. New Orleans had to had a young kid who could have iced the game with two free throws with 3 seconds left. He missed them both.
Mm-hmm.
Lakers were down two, or down three. I'm sorry. He makes either one of those free throws, the game's over.
Right.
Then they have a complete defensive brain cramp and leave Matt Ryan, the best three-point shooter on the team, alone in the corner, and Ryan hits a falling out of bounds
right.
three.
I remember.
They get it to overtime and they win.
Yeah.
Any objective fan, I see the world through purple and gold colored glasses, but any reason, you, George, would say the Lakers were very lucky to win that game.
Sure.
New Orleans should have won that game.
Right.
Last night, I think, was the payback.
Right.
I think that
That's
everything
fair.
Had to go right for Indiana, and it did.
It did.
And
by
so
the way,
I think in a long season, you're probably going to get a yin and yang like
sure,
that.
Sure, I don't think there's any question. But by the way, you saw him now up close yesterday. I told you yesterday Tyrese Halliburton's going to be an all-star for a long, long time.
I am
time.
Now wondering how you guys, Sacramento could trade. I mean, it's Sacramento. They're the guys who drafted Marvin Bagley ahead of Luka.
Ridiculous. Like, but, what
and
are you
I'm
doing?
Well, George, we both like Sabonis. He's
yeah,
a good player.
But this is a perimeter-oriented league. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, Domantas Sabonis is not Joel Embiid. He's not Anthony Davis. He's not Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's not Nikola Jokic, for that matter.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he's a good player, but he's not going to be better than Tyrese Halliburton.
And De'Aaron Fox having a really good year in Sacramento, but you know Halliburton's got better size.
And he's that better
and
defender.
Could have played Halliburton at the two.
Sure.
And let De'Aaron Fox be the one.
Sure.
My fantasy team thinks that he did get traded to Indiana, though.
Well, here's an amazing stat that I can't think if there's a comp to.
By the way, Trudell, sneaky little dictator in the fantasy league. He tried to trade me during the offseason, Kyle Kuzma for Tyrese Halliburton. And I said, I was like, bro, Tyrese Halliburton is probably going to be a top 10 fantasy player.
You know who would have done that
What's
trade?
What's wrong with you? Mace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Tyrese Halliburton last night had 24 points, 14 assists, and no turnovers.
He's three straight games with no turnovers and double-digit assists.
Okay, so you know what that adds up to? 40 assists with no turnovers.
He's incredible, dude.
And you know, George, he shoots set shots?
Yeah.
I can't remember the last guy who did that.
He's an old-school kind of player,
man. In other words, when I say set shots, when he shoots threes, he doesn't jump.
No, like Antoine Walker is probably the last guy that you could think of.
Andre Miller.
Yeah. Andre Miller's a good one, too.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because Antoine Walker did the tippy toe.
Yeah.
He got to the tippy toes. He didn't have heels down.
Andre Miller was totally flat-footed.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm gonna take a left turn here.
Okay.
Nice. Do it.
So I was watching.
Yeah, because Cappy was not adding any of the time. In fact, I
even said in the YouTube chat, I'm like, I'm laying out of this. You guys can,
right,
can go
Cap,
deep.
I can come to you on this. Last night I watched The Daily Show with Trevor Noah.
Mm-hmm. Is it the last one?
Not yet.
Okay.
Getting there.
Last night you watched this?
Yeah.
On Real TV?
On
Comedy Central.
Comedy Central.
Yeah. Not his a streaming
guest,
service.
His guest was Will Smith.
Oh, mm-hmm. I saw the clips. I haven't seen the whole thing.
Me neither.
Do you guys think, I'll start with you, Cap. Are people going to go? Will Smith was promoting a movie called Emancipation.
And by the way, he's probably going to be nominated for an Oscar because now will they do it actually? Because yeah. But the movie if, is war but, it warrants it.
By the way, if he gets nominated, can't go. He's banned for 10 years.
Here's the thing: if the Academy really wants to punish Will Smith,
they don't even nominate him.
No, they do nominate
and
him.
And he wins.
And don't let him go because that guy loves attention. He loves being at the center of all the spotlight.
He might win.
No, I know somebody who worked on the movie, yeah. And it's supposed to be
I saw the trailer, and it's like, wow. No, just even, the trailer blew
even,
me away.
Yeah, he doesn't even look like
and,
Will Smith.
No.
And, I mean, Antoine Fuqua was the director.
Right.
He's really good.
Oh, he's incredible.
He did the Lakers Hulu documentary.
Yeah, and he did something
Training
before
Day.
That.
Training Day.
Yeah. He's a very good director.
Yeah.
Do you guys think people are ready to forgive Will Smith?
Cap like, isn't, that's for sure.
Well, nope, I'm not.
Bergman, for example.
Wait, no. Cap, you said you would forgive him if he did one thing.
Yeah, if he comes on the show.
That is so good. Yeah, that is awesome. You know what?
I mean,
if I was Will Smith, I'd do it.
Right. I mean, at least just come on the show. Let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
I just love your honesty, man. Yeah. That is so great.
I represent the team Chris Rock. And for those of us that will not see Emancipation, simply because it's a Will Smith movie, because we're still in the middle of a very bitter...
stop! What? If Will Smith had not done anything to Chris Rock, you would still probably not see Emancipation. Because you don't go to see the movie, you don't go to a movie anyway, or you don't watch movies anyway.
George, you're killing my whole vibe here. Yeah. Okay? All I'm saying is that I will not see Emancipation because I'm still on Team Chris Rock and not satisfied mm-hmm. with any nonsense apology.
I remember one time Mason and I were talking, and this was on the air, and Mason goes, we can't talk about Trump anymore. He's too divisive. We can't talk about Trump. Don't bring it up anymore. And I said, well, what if Trump agreed to come on the show? Mason goes, well, that's different.
If he wants to come on the show
and face me.
Cappy likes to tweet at these guys to try to come on the show. That's like his
Has it ever worked, Cap?
Not really. Not really. Like if I were to tweet at Will Smith and be like, yo, man, I was a really big fan. I used to get jiggy with it. I'm down with Miami.
I will tell you this. Is Lindsay here yet?
Yeah, she's back there.
Hey, Linz. I'm going to screw this story up, so step in and correct me when I do. Lindsay had a friend who tragically passed away, but at a time when he was sick and fighting cancer, didn't you like randomly tweet The Rock and ask him to do a video for your friend and he did it?
I didn't tweet him. I actually like reached out to his PR guy, but he did do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was just like a cold call from Lindsay saying, hey, I've got this guy. And The Rock, this thing that he did for this guy, your friend's name was Matt, right?
Yep. Matt Lodi.
Yeah. So it was like the most heartfelt, cool thing. Like, Lindsay, whatever you imagined he might do, it probably far exceeded it, right?
It was the nicest thing that anybody, especially of like that celebrity status, could ever do. The fact that he took, and it wasn't just like a generic like, hey man, wish you well. Like he like picked out things from this email that I wrote and like made sure he identified with them. And it was just
like
it was
two
awesome.
Minutes of motivational, like, hey man, I know you're fighting and I know you feel like crap. And your friends have told me that you've been in this battle for a really long time. I'm just here to tell you, you can do it.
Right.
It's like
the world's greatest cameo.
Yeah. It was. And Lindsay, for no pay or anything, he just did it to be a good guy.
He just did it out of the kindness of his heart. I sent an email to his PR guy and just said, he's going through a really tough time right now. Like, if you have any, like, words of wisdom, encouragement, whatever. And he sent the whole video. It was amazing.
And so, Cap, this is my long way of saying you're these random tweets you're sending out that Sedano's making fun of you for, it when one of them comes home and works, that's when you have
my
day
favorite
in the
part
sun.
Of this though is imagining Cappy tweeting at Will Smith who's not on Twitter.
Laura That's funny. Laura actually had a great idea. We should cameo Will Smith and see if he'll apologize to Cap.
Oh,
if he did, Cap,
does he have a cameo?
Does he have one? That's the question.
Cap, does that check the box?
No, big time.
If we get some time of audio or video apology to you, you will then go see Emancipation,
even if it's paid for.
Yes, yes. Listen, I want Will Smith to say on cameo, "Yo, Cap, I know you were a big fan. I know my slapping Chris Rock has turned you off. I sincerely apologize to Chris Rock and get back on my train, dog." If he says something like that,
dog.
Throw in the dog, please. If he were to say something like that, all could be forgiven between Will Smith and me.
In case you can't tell, there is more of this nonsense coming up for the next 3 hours, and I, for one, can't wait. I'm so encouraged by this Supercross talk.
Wait, you're not going to listen to the Part of the Interruption podcast today?
I will skip PTI and listen to you two on the way home. That's how strongly I feel
there about that. Will Smith is not on Cameo. There is a Will Smith lookalike. Will that work?
No, but I would get closer to going to see this film.
It's only $60 for the Will Smith lookalike.
You shouldn't have done. You should have just paid the $60.
You'll never get back.
You should have just paid it and just said, "Hey, this is the real Will Smith."
Okay, Cappy. Yeah, just not wearing makeup, right?
Jada Pinkett is on Twitter. Like, what if you could get her on and have her apologize?
Wasn't she the cause of the problem? Yeah.
Sure, but what if she would apologize on behalf of Will Smith to you?
Yeah. No, it needs to be Will.
Nope.
Yeah, I definitely should have gotten the Will Smith lookalike. You're right.
Sonato and Cap coming up next. Thank you, Andy.
Sure.
Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Bergman wants me to read something that I don't think he gave me to
we'll get to on the other side, Ireland. New college football playoff top four. We'll tell you where USC is.
Really? Yeah. Excellent. Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all season long, is the sponsor of Supercross Talk. Sonato and Cap is next, ESPN LA.